Okay, Rabosai. we left off in the Gemara. Let's go a line and a half after the Mishnah. Al peiros haaretz v'chuli pshita. Obviously, if you say hadama, haetz on a cucumber, you're not yotze. It's just sheker gomer. No, only for Rabbi Yehuda who holds that chita is an ilan. And let's assume we're talking about someone who eats kosa chita. So, detanya ilan shachamen odom risham revero gefen hayashin v'chadavr shvim yilala l'odom el yayin shenem v'yeshman ayam v'yeshkark. Right, Rameir holds it was a grapevine, because what causes trouble but drunkenness and drinking wine, like we see by Noah? And the Chemi Amar Te'ena Ha'isa Shem Lo Nizkaku Lubo Nizkanu Shem Amar Vayisbur Alei Se'ena, must be a Te'ena, because since they made fig leaves, that's where we get the idea of the phrase fig leaf, to cover themselves afterwards, it must be that it was the fig tree. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chita Ha'isa She'en Tinu Gidah Likos Avim Ha'chidon Tam Dagan. It was a chita because it gave them intelligence, a tzadas, and a little baby doesn't get intelligence till he eats wheat. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the eitz hadas was wheat. So wheat is an eitz, so you might think, b'di'evet, at least you're yotze if you say ha'eitz on wheat. Sa'kadat ramina holva amr Rabbi Yehuda chidim en ilan hi livrach ole bori pri ha'eitz. That is bori pri ha'eitz. Maybe l'chachil, or at least b'di'evet. Kamash malan, no, that it's not. Even b'di'evet, you can't make bori pri ha'eitz on wheat. Why? Because it doesn't meet the botanical definition of an eitz. What's the definition of an eitz? When you say eitz, when you harvest the fruit, and the, I don't want to translate this, because then I'm going to get myself into a machlokas. The gavza stays and grows more fruit. But when you cut the fruit like wheat, and then the stalk dries up and nothing is left and nothing grows more wheat, then pashut that it is hadama. Okay, so wheat is hadama. Just while we're on the topic of wheat, yesh la'ayin, so taka, what's wrong with the havamina? After all, if eitz hadas means wheat according to Rabbi Yehuda, then wheat is an eitz. So why do we say that it's not an eitz? So here we seem to have a bit of a machlokes, why we say, that it's not an eitz. The medrash, we mentioned this earlier, we quoted what the Torah Chaim Sanhedrin, but it's pretty much pashup shot in the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah brings the same, two of the same machlokos. One of these deos in this piece of Medrash Rabbah, he says it's chitin, and he asks, really, it's chitin? Amrli v'aksiv eitz. How could chitin mean eitz? Amrli metamros hayu ka'arze halavonon. Ah, they grew tall like arze halavonon, meaning they were 100 feet tall. Why were they 100 feet tall? So we remember, if you would go on in the Bereishis Rabbah, because in those, in Gan Eden, they grew gluskos instead of wheat kernels. And I guess to grow gluskos, you have to be more than a little stalk, right? Meaning, it was a totally different gedder of wheat in those days. In which case, our Gemara makes perfect sense, even though chita was called eitz in Gan Eden, and that's an issue. So Adam says, in two different places, he deals with different Rishonim, but in the one place that I gave you here, he says, avada, only the chita in Gan Eden was called an eitz. But our modern-day chita is not called an eitz, because the chita in Gan Eden was mamash a tree. Our modern-day chita is only a stalk. So modern-day chita is not called an eitz. Okay, in another place he points out that this seems to be against a couple of Rishonim. So Chita, so says the Nishmas Adam Alpi the Medrash, and we saw lots of other Rishonim like this as well, that Began Eden Nikra 8, but Bizman Azeh Eino Kamro 8. Why? Because it is a completely different plant, and there's only a vague similarity between their chita trees and our chita stalks. However, the Some of the Rishonim don't sound that way. It could be they make a diuk here that it says Hov Amar Rabbi Yehuda Chita Min Ilan Hi. Rabbi Yehuda says Chita Min Ilan. It could be that some of the Rishonim understood Chita Min Ilan means even our Chita Min Ilan. So if even our Chita Min Ilan, maybe even our Chita Min Ilan, since it was called an Eitz. First of all, maybe it wasn't, didn't look different in Gan Eden, or in any case, it was called an Eitz in Gan Eden. It's still called an Ilan, and that's why some of the Rishonim say, so for what nafkamina is it called an Ilan? After all, for Orla, clearly there's no Orla. For Klayim, clearly it's Klayim Bekerem, it's not treated like an Ilan. For Brachos, we learn right here that Lekuli Alma, it's treated like a vegetable. So what's the nafkamina? So the Rishonim are bothered by that. According to the Nishmas Adam, he says, elsewhere he says, and I know these Rishonim are against me, says you don't have to be bothered by that. Doesn't have to be nafkamina. That was only a long time ago. But the Tosos and the Meiri, Meiri's quoting a Rabbit here, saying no, Afilu Chita Shalanu Nikra Eitz. Even our chita is called an Eitz. Okay, Le'inyan what? What's an nafkamina? So Tosos and Shabbos says, fascinatingly, he says, Le'inyan Tuma Vatara. Anything made from stalks of chita is considered Kli Eitz. Okay, Tosos is making an assumption. We're not getting into Tuma Vatara here. What does Kli Eitz mean? It means kalem from a tree or kalem from plant material. So he assumes it means only kalem from a tree. So why is kaveras hakash makabel toma? Why is something made of straw makabel toma? The answer is because straw is straw from wheat, and wheat is called a tree. So Tosos says nafkamina leinyan toma, then it's a kli eitz for toma purposes. If you make something out of wheat stalks, and the meiri b'shem the ravid. He gives the cheapest nafkamina ever, but this is not like a modern-day yeshivish joke. It's found a little bit in Shonen. He says, the Meiri, quoting the Ravid, what does he say? Again, it sounds like a modern-day yeshivish joke. He says, Perish and Gedolim and Parshas, why would you nether? That if a guy says, I'm a nuzzer, if this is an Elon, then it's an Elon, he's a nuzzer. Okay, he could also say, get in the Kiddushin, right? Yeah. although he admits, if a guy says, I make a nether not to eat any fruit of an Elon, he can still eat wheat. Because people don't, you know, people don't mean it when they talk that way. Just when you make a tnai, you're making a tnai based on some formal idea. So la'inyan tnai shel nedarim. Okay, so it's still nowadays called a tree. It's still nowadays called a tree for some purposes. Here says the Rishash, who I think is going to have to be. Okay, the Rishash has an understanding of them. Says the Rishash. The Rishash wants to prove, I'll mention why in a moment. He wants to prove that he says there's a tzlach against him. He wants to prove that brachos go by Lashon B'nai Adam, not by Lashon Torah. Birkas Hananin depends on Lashon B'nai Adam, not on Lashon Torah. And he brings a few proofs for this idea. And one of the proofs of this idea, he says, is chita. After all, chita is an eitz, or even nowadays, right? And yet, you're not yotzeh say bar priya eitz, or raya lazeh, da chita. Nikreis Blush and Torah, the Rabbi Yehuda Lakam and Eitz, and calls her the Yatsam Birgalo Bray Priyadama, which proves that we go by, as he said above, Lenyan Bracha, you go by Lashon B'nai Adam. Okay, so he says, so what does this mean within Tosos and the Meiri? Says the Rishash, Blushon Torah, Nikra, Eitz, but Brachos, follow Lashon B'nai Adam.
That might be the second day of Tosfos too, isn't it?
Which second?
In Menachem or whatever it was.
He brings a proof from that as well. Yeah, that was his next proof. His next proof was Yerushalmi that says Atad is an eitz for Klayim and is not an eitz for Brachos. Why not? Because Brachos go by Lashon B'nai Adam. Absolutely. And his third proof I'll mention in a second. I'm just not, that's basically what he's saying is that achita is not an eitz gomer. just brachos go by Lashon B'nai Adam, as opposed to Nishmas Adam, who says it's not an eitz at all. I'm just not sure that I'm convinced that he is correct, because what do you mean it's an eitz gomer? It's not an eitz lenyim mitzvah tluyus ba'aretz, right? It's not an eitz lenyim klayim. It's not an eitz lenyim arla. So if it was really an eitz b'lashon Torah, then it, and just not a lashon bnei Adam, then why wouldn't it be an eitz lenyim mitzvah tluyus ba'aretz, which would be ludicrous, meaning that's reductio ad absurdum. You can't possibly think it's an eitz lenyim arla. Then you have to wait for the fourth year, and it only grows once. You can't possibly think it's an eitz lenyim klayim, because if it's an eitz, that means not klayim b'kerem, but it is the example of klayim b'kerem is chita, meaning that's what the Torah has in mind when it says tefillah. It means... When it says, the Gemara assumes the classic example is chita. So I'm a little, I'm a little skeptical of the Rishash. Nira Linius Daiti, that really no one thinks that chita is mamashinates. That no one thinks that chita is mamashinates. Even in Lashon Torah, that lekuli alma chita eina eitz. Everyone agrees chita is not an eitz. Behalacha or linyan robe chumei. And they just think it's a remez bi'ala, since he is called an eitz in Gan Eden, therefore, okay, it can be called an eitz for some purposes. Ella, remez bi'alma lamdu mi Gan Eden le'inyan tuma o tanai. In the Dorim. Okay, Nirlan is Daiti. I think that the Rishash makes a machlokus min a katza la katza. Either it's not an eitz b'zmanazeh, or it is an eitz, just people don't call it an eitz. But I think that he's going a little too far, because we know it's not an eitz for all areas of halacha. The Meiri can't even think of one area of halacha except for Tanai. And Tosos can only think of Toma Vatara, which is very far from mitzvah tluyus ba'aretz. So it could be that everyone agrees that our modern day eitzim are not, our modern day chita is not called an eitz. It was just some special drusha in Gan Eden. Just the Tosos and the Meiri think there's some remez, meaning they're really the same as Nishmas Adam. They just think that because the Torah called it an eitz, that's a remez that you can call it an eitz if you want and make that a tanai, or that it's an eitz for Tumah V'Tara. So this attractive shot of the Rishash, I'm just not sure how to justify. Okay, let me just point out, why is the Rishash convinced that brachos follow Lashon B'nai Adam? He does seem to have a... why is he convinced that brachos follow Lashon B'nai Adam? He has three rayas why brachos follow Lashon B'nai Adam. One is this, but we said it's not really such a good raya, because chita is not a tree in all mitzvot tluyus ba'aretz. His second raya is mikra bikurim, what we discussed last time. What do you say in when you bring your bikurim? Hashem here of Yamenu. Ma'ata hine heveshi es reishis pri ha'adam. But five out of the seven species are fruit. And we just said that... and we had a machlokus, whether fruit is pre-hadama or is yotzei is pre-hadama on fruit or not. So how could there be machlokus when they're not yotzei if it's before it's possible you are yotzei? But if we passing it works out, you are yotzei if you say pre-hadama on fruit. But how could there be a daya of the chachamim that you're not yotzei? So what were the Rishash's rayas? Says the Rishash, bracha is Tluya Belashon B'nai Adam. What were his proofs? One, Chita. But, Tzarech Ion. Because of all mitzvot Tluyus Ba'aretz, Chita is also not a tree. It's not only Bracha. Two, Lashon Mikra Bikurim Lefi Chachamim. According to Chachamim, you're not Yotzei with Hadama on a fruit. But yet, in Mikra Yivam, you say Rachis Pri Adama. So what does that prove? That proves that brachos go by Lashon B'nei Adam and not, right, meaning Birech Hadama Al Pri Ha'ilan Lo Yatza, but Omer Pri Ha'adama Al Bikurei Ilan. So how do those two shtim? It must be brachos go by Lashon B'nei Adam. That was the Rishash's other taina. Interestingly, the Gra in the Imrei Noam here, which is notes in the Gra shir on brachos, the Gra says, Taka, it's a good question. This proves there's actually no such shita, and that the Rambam's right, and that our Gemara doesn't mean what it seems to mean, and there's not really a machlokas. Remember, the Rambam, Moshe Mefarshim, said, he held that the Gemara, well, either he passed like the other day in the Rishalmi, he says he didn't pass in like Shabbat or Gemara. It's not true there's a machlokas about if you say Hadama and Ha'eitz, the Kuliyama or Yotze. So basically, how do you explain this? How do you explain this stira? So says the Rishash, Lashon Torah versus Lashon B'nei Adam. Says the Gra, Al Pi Rambam. It's not such a good answer, because like there is another day in the Rishalmi. He says, nope, this proves there is no Shita that Birech Hadama Al Pri Ha'ilan Lo Yatza. Our Gemara sounds like it's totally in the Machlokes of Yehudin the Chachamim in Bikurim. No, there's actually no Shita. All the time I agree that if you say Hadama on an apple, you're Yotzei, which is why the Rambam Paskins, like the Ham Bikurim, but still Paskins like our Mishnah. And that, he uses a proof for the Rambam. How do we know the Rambam's right? That you should pass like our Mishnah regardless of how you Paskin Bikurim? Because in the Lashon Mikra Bikurim, obviously fruits are called Pri Adama. There can't be a machlokes about that. And the Nishmas Adam says in a little radical, says the Nishmas Adam, a third answer to get out of the Rishash, he says that it doesn't actually mean Rishis Pri Hadama. That is a big chiddush. He says, he makes a diyuk. excuse me. In Rashi, Rashi says maybe in a korsha in a yochalomer min hadama shenasata li. I don't know what chumash Rashi has. Min hadama asher nasata li. What does it say in our chumash? In our chumash, right? It doesn't say min hadama asher nasata li. It says. Vanisa Marta, etc. Esri Shis Pri Hadama Asher Pri Hadama Shinasato Li. There's no min there. So why does Rashi misquote the Pasuk? Clearly Rashi had the same Gerson Chumash that we do. There were other yourselves with more words floating around in Chumash. So he says maybe Rashi wanted to say it wasn't his Girsan Chumash, obviously it was his Taichin Chumash. He wants to say don't think it actually means Pri Adama. It just means Peros from the Adama, but it's not called Pri Adama. And the pasuk didn't actually mean Rashi's Pri Adama. It means the Rashi's Pri Min Adama. That's a very dachuk pshat. That when it says Pri Adama, it doesn't actually mean Pri Adama. There the pasuk meant something else. It just means the Rashi's Pri from the Adama. Asher nasata li Hashem, but says the Nishmas Adam al pi diyuk the Rashi that the pasuk doesn't actually mean pri ha'adama, even though it says pri ha'adama, it really means peros min ha'adama, as Rashi says min ha'adama.
Maybe that's the loch of it, only if it's your land.
Correct, clearly it has to be your land, but still, you could have said priya dama. It's a dochuk answer. Lemaisa, the Rishash here, seems to have a good point. I mean, this is a bothersome kasha, right? This should bother everyone when they first read the sugya. How could they be a chlokas with a yotze if you say bori priya dama on a fig? In Mikra Mikurim, the Chumash says to say bori, say rishas priya dama on a fig, and a grape and a pomegranate. So what's wrong with the Chumash? So the Gra says, Taki, you're right. Therefore, you can't pass him like our Gemara. Nish Masadim says, no, that's not what the Chumash meant. This is what it looks like it meant, which is a little dark. And the Rishash says, from here we have a good proof that brachos go by Lashamei Adam. His third proof is the Yerushalmi in Klayim, which says, Atad is Elon Legabe Klayim, but Atad is Yerek Legabe bracha. Why? So we'll see. There are many pshatim, but the Rishash's pshat is because klayim goes by lashon Torah and bracha goes by lashon bnei adam. Okay, so that's his third pshat. We'll see the other pshatim soon.
There's even a stronger pshat. There's a Rambam in the Rif holds that a bracha shav has the same din as a shvat shav.
And shvat go by lashon bnei adam. Okay, nice. The one last thing I want to point out is, I don't want to spend a lot of time in it, but because I put it in brackets, there's a very strange Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is very makeable. We'll see in our next sugya about mistaken brachos. He says, I think if you say mizonos on bread, you're yotze. If you say hadama on bread, you're yotze. If you say ha'etz on bread, you're yotze. According to Rabbi Yehuda, says etzadas was achita. So it's a nice svara, like cool chat. If eitz adas was a chita, then you say eitz on bread, you're yotze. The only thing is mafurish 100% straight out against our Gemara. Our Gemara says even if eitz adas was a chita, you're still not yotze if you say ha'eitz on chita. So it's a very, very strange kesef mishnah. And the kesef mishnah is just, it's a side point. And his discussion doesn't make a big deal of it. What could the svara, the kesef mishnah, possibly be? I mean, how could he passing against our Gemara? So I know of two answers. One crazy answer, which I didn't find in the Mefarshim, and one more classic answer, which I did. I'm not sure if the crazy answer is correct. So I'll start with the classic answer. In the footnotes to the Shagas Aryeh, not modern footnotes, like Hashlom's Shagas Aryeh, quotes from Avli Pasveller, who gave a Cheshmini answer. He says that he's Lashitase the Rambam. What's Lashitase the Rambam? It's not necessarily so pshat in the Gemara, but he says Lashitase. He says, Amr Rav Nachman Yitzchak Nitzchak El Rav Yehuda. Why do Rav Nachman Yitzchak have to say our mission is according to Rav Yehuda? The answer is because two lines ago he says our mission is Rav Yehuda. He Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who says our mission is Rav Yehuda, has to say the safe is also Rav Yehuda. So this says the Rav Avli Pasveller, I think that's his name. Spell it right. He says a big cheshbon, right? Bigger cheshbon than we usually say in the shir. He says there's a machlokus between Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and the Deya Shnia in the Rishalmi / Rambam. What does Rav Nachman Yitzchak say? He says, the Reisha is Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan. And therefore, you put him with Tosos, says Tosos, Lididon, this is the last year, Dekaimalon, Kirabanan Bibikurim. No, the other way around. I was putting the Rivav. Says Tosos, Lididon de Kaimalon Kemishnasenu, Kaimalon Kerabi Yehuda Bibikurim, right? That was Tosos in the past, like Rehun Bibikurim, because of Stam Mishnah. And the Rambam Lashitase says, no, the Reisha of our Mishnah is. The Reisha of our Mishnah is Lekuli Alma. The Reisha of our Mishnah is, let's assume, Rabbanan. And therefore, afal pi dekaimalon kirabbanan bibikurin, this is the famous kasha of the Rambam, kaimalon kimasnisin, right? This is the famous sheet of the Rambam, that our Mishnah, he rejects it not where Yisach, like the other day in the Yerushalmi, because the Mishnah is l'shitase, the Rambam passed like the other day in the Yerushalmi, not that he reinterpreted our sugya. He passed like the other day in Yerushalmi. He passed the answer not where Yisach, not where Yisach thought the ratio was Rabbanan, because only if you hold Mevi v'kore, do you hold that if you say Hadam on an apple, you're Yotze? But we paskin, like the other day in Yerushalmi. Nah, even if you hold maybe the Eino Kore, even if you're the Rabbanan, you still, if you say Hadam on an apple, you're Yotze. If so, here's the Chap of Avli Pasveler. Then Rav Nachbar Yisrael B'shitase said Seifa Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Reisha Rabbi Yehuda, the Seifa is Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, Afal Pi She'etz hada'as chita haya embire ha'etz al chita lo yatza. That's our Gemara Nachra Yitzah. But that's all because the ratio is Rabbi Yehuda. You have to make the safe Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rav Avli Pasveler, since the Rambam passed like the other day in Yerushalmi against Rav Nachra Yitzah, the ratio is the Chachamim. So just say, this is his Chiddush, the safe is also the Chachamim. Which means, Kevan de'etz hada'as lo hayachita imbirech ha'etz al-chita lo yatza. Maybe we pass against Rabbi Yitzchak, the seifa is only the Chachamim. Since etz hada'as was grapes or figs, therefore, or esrogs, there's another opinion out there in the Medrash, therefore, if you say ha'etz al-chita lo yatza, but Aval lefi Rabbi Yehuda in a chanami yatsa. And that is the Kesem Mishnah. So the Kesem Mishnah l'shitase, Kesem Mishnah says the Rambam passed like the second day in the Shami against from Nachmar Yitzchak, says just like he passed against from Nachmar Yitzchak in the Risha, he passed against from Nachmar Yitzchak in the Seifa. And again, we know what the Rambam says, the Kesem Mishnah says. And therefore, the Seifa is not Rabbi Yehuda, the Seifa is the Chachamim. And it's not even though it's a dasos chita, you're not yotze. That because Eitz Hadas wasn't Chita, you're not Yotze. But if you would have held Eitz Hadas was Chita, you would be Yotze. And that's exactly what the Kesem says. If you hold Eitz Hadas as Chita, you're Yotze. Okay, nice cheshbon of Rav Avli Pasveler. I wanted to suggest, but I'm not sure if this is correct, that maybe you could say that the Kesem is not against our sugya, not against Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was talking about saying Ha'etz on Hadama, on Kos Sachita. Because the Mishnah is talking about saying ha'etz on bread. Maybe you're not yotze if you say ha'etz on wheat, but you are yotze if you say ha'etz on bread. Why? Based on the Medrash, then in Gan Eden, they didn't grow, wheat didn't grow, only bread grew. So maybe you can say, Enochan, wheat which didn't grow on a tree in Gan Eden, if you say ha'etz, you're not yotze, like the Nishma Sadam. But bread which did grow on a tree in Gan Eden, if you say ha'etz, b'di'evan, you're yotze. Okay, our bread doesn't grow on a tree, so it's not l'chachila. But maybe you can be mechalek based on the Nishmas Adam that if you eat bread which grew on the Gan Eden tree, you're yotze with ha'etz. But if you eat wheat which did not grow on a Gan Eden tree, you're not yotze with ha'etz. Okay, that's a big chiddush. I will leave that for, it's a little too agadic for Abi. I will leave that for your judgment, and we'll go weiter to the main sugya.
On that shot, what is the ASAP on then those skulls that are growing out of the tree and not on
bread? Right, that's the problem. That's the problem with shot then. Even though bread grew from trees and got Adan, this bread didn't. This bread came from wheat. So what? So that's why the pshat is a little dachuk. Otherwise, I would say I'm for sure right. That's why the pshat is dachuk. But you have to say is even though this bread didn't grow on a tree, however, since it is the kind of thing that used to grow on the tree, therefore you yotze b'di'evan if you say priya eitz because it's the kind of thing that used to grow on the tree, even though this particular one didn't grow on the tree. And I admit that's a little dachuk, which is why maybe I'll stick with our Avli Pasveler. Okay, let's get back to our Gemara. Chaim, when you get a chance. Yeah. What does our Gemara say? Very, very important, right? There are many reasons why we want to know what's a tree and what's a vegetable. Someone tell me a few reasons why we need to know what's a tree, what's a vegetable.
Orla.
Arla, right? Arla plus trees, not vegetables. Kalayin. a vegetable in the kerem or with other vegetables slash grains, etc., is klayim. Trees in a kerem or with other seeds are not klayim. Like, if I plant vegetables in my vineyard, that's klayim. If I plant trees in my vineyard, apple tree in my vineyard, that's not klayim. And likewise, if I plant vegetables in a wheat field, that's klayim. If I plant apple trees in a wheat field, that is not klayim. The first is klayim kerem, the second is klayim zeroyim, which are different, but in this respect, they are the same. And of course, brachos, right? Bari pri eitz, bari pri adama. Okay. The Gemara tells us how to tell what's a fruit and what's a vegetable. Very, very pashut, right? If the gavza stays and grows new fruits, that's a tree. If the gavza disappears, that's not a tree. The question is just, what is a gavza? So we know, first of all, there's many different girsos. Some have the girsa ilan. Some have the girsa geza. But whatever your girsa is, I think you can still have very different pshatim. Gavza is a very vague word. It just means like wood. What are the two or three pshatim as to what it means? You got the board, Chaim?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is a gavza? What is this magical gavza? Okay. Who says the word anaf?
Rashi
says the word anaf. What does he mean by anaf? Now, again, I know how we translate them into English usually, but lav davka, that the Rishonim always use them exactly how we translate them into English usually, right? What does he mean by anaf? Someone help me out here. It shouldn't be so hard. What does he mean by anaf?
Sounds like a branch.
A branch as opposed to? A trunk. A branch as opposed to a trunk.
Yeah.
Maybe he means a branch as opposed to. If the branch grows more, then it is a eitz. If not, then it is hadama. Okay. Someone want to give me another shot?
The trunk.
The trunk. Maybe gavza means a trunk, especially some people in the Gerza Geza. If the trunk lives and produces more, then it is an eitz. If the trunk dies at the end of the season, then, and you have to grow a new trunk, then it is a vegetable. Okay, interestingly, the Bach and most Achronim think that's what Rashi means, although there are definitely some Achronim we'll mention who are misopic about that. What's the third shot?
Roots.
The roots, meaning it means any part of the tree, right? If the roots stay and grow again next year, it is a tree. And it's only a vegetable if you have to
replant
it every year, right? Like wheat, for example. Either way, wheat's a vegetable, right? The branch dies, the trunk dies, if you can even call it a trunk, and even the roots die. It doesn't grow new ones every year. So those are the three main pshatim. Who says that gavza means the shoresh, even if it regrows, meaning anything you don't need to replant, right? Someone said this lashon very explicitly. Who says that pshat? What? The Rush. The Rush very explicitly says, anything you don't need to replant is a tree, even if only the shoresh stays. Someone give me an example of some fruits where only the shoresh stays after the season and then grows a new plant.
Bananas
is the most common one. Everyone, all the Gaonim bring our sugya discussing bananas. How do you say bananas in Arabic? Any Arabic speakers?
Banana.
No. Eliezer Ben Yehuda didn't get the word banana from the Arabs. We know where he got the word banana. I don't know how to really pronounce it like an Arabic speaker, but muzi. Right, that is what the Shulchan Aruch discussed in Sif Gimel, right? The Muzi, that's what the Gaonim discussed. All the Gaonim, apparently bananas came in the Gaonim. All the Gaonim discussed bananas. That's their main nafgamina. And strawberries. Strawberries are, they're fascinating differences between strawberries and bananas, but I don't know if they're relevant for our purposes. Bananas, you plant banana seed, and you have one trunk, and it just, one root, it grows. the whole trunk dies in the winter. The trunk is not really like a trunk. It's more like just like layers of like asparagus type layers of green stuff, even though it turns brown. That's not really wood. And then it regrows. Strawberries are very fascinating. They sort of like you plant it, it grows like a little vine, and then it goes back into the ground and makes a new root. And it keeps making new roots, and then everything dies in the winter, and then the new roots grow in the summer. To the best of my knowledge, that's true of all bananas and strawberries. Another example is, and here's where this becomes very tricky. If you just be very, you're quoting Rav Haigon, but it still doesn't match Aram Metzias. Okay, the Rav Haigon says, and chatzilim, eggplant, is the same as bananas. Problem is that that's not true. We know we really don't know of anywhere where the chatzilim regrows from the roots every year. In cold climates, the roots also die and you have to replant it. Mm-hmm. And in warm climates, the trunk stays. So it's a big machlokas. You can look. I have the 150-page thesis about this among the historians, whether Rav Haigon had a slightly different strain of eggplant, which is not common nowadays, where it regrew from the roots like a banana, or whether Rav Haigon never actually saw how it grew and he was just based on what he was told and he didn't get an accurate report. We're not going to get into that now. Tomatoes in cold climates, part of the problem is that you try to figure out, like you just Wikipedia, you know, all these things, and you figure out exactly what the Metzias is, doesn't work at all. First of all, every plant has like 100 different types, and it all depends on the temperature. In cold climates and warm climates, they grow totally differently. If you would Google in English how to grow eggplant, it would be obvious that you plant it from seeds every year. No one has any hobby. If you Google in English how to grow eggplant so it'll last many years, they say, oh, well, you graft an eggplant onto a different tree because an eggplant can't last more than 1 year. And if you Google in Arabic how to grow eggplant, then we'll tell you plant it and it lasts a couple years because it all just depends on the weather. So tomatoes in warm climates are like strawberries. The roots the roots live underground and then flourish again next year without replanting. Although in cold climates, you have, like when we grew up in the old country, you have to plant them every spring. Yeah, anyway, that is the rush. In which case,
isn't a pineapple like on a banana?
I think a pineapple is like a banana, correct. In which case, basically banana and strawberry would be ha'etz, according to the rush. Who else holds like the rush? So in the Mordechai, he quotes a machlokas about this. And the Mordechai says, Aval haram amar shenogom levarach lehem b'ri p'ri eitz, sheri derecha anaflis kamin yam rab m'shana zu, v'hasi adi asi pari b'shana cheresh, v'eitzim uskai m'shana l'shana, v'chein ha'og Rabbeinu Tam b'shem Aviv. The Maram and Rabbeinu Tam, who is quoting his father, who happened to have also the same name, as the Maram says that, now, everyone's language is very unclear. Everyone knows prizash is strawberries. Frisa something in French speakers? How do you say strawberries?
Fraise.
Okay, fraise, strawberries. So this is the rush. This is the Maharam and Rabbeinu Tam in the Mordechai. And go back to Tosfos on our daf. Says Tosfos, Mehacha nira de tutim ufrizas, fresh strawberries. Bontant vikayotzibahem, srichin lavarchalim boripria h, aridercha, aitlis kaim, yobim rabin. What does he mean? He means the roots. He doesn't say it so explicitly. Chishakal ha pribishanazu, hadar asi priba also eats atzmo. Okay, so that is, and Tosfos al hadaf. They all hold from the shores, therefore bananas and strawberries would be ha'etz, according to them. However, the Mordechai quotes the Gaonim, you could look, you'll find every Gaon dealing with bananas. Some of them also throw in other things, right? From Rav Haigon to the Baha'i to Rav Paltoi Gaon and all the Gaonim you never heard of, who all have tshuvas about bananas. Bananas was a big deal in their days. And they say, Pasha, bananas are hadama. And they say very, very explicitly, because anything that dies and is underground and regrows from the roots, That's not called a gavza. Only if it stays above ground, that is called a gavza. And we know, even if we don't look in all the obscure books, we don't have to look in the obscure books, because this is known in the halachic literature as the Tshuvas HaGaonim in the Mordechai. Right? The Mordechai quotes Tshuvas HaGaonim called Ilan de Yavish Besitva v'kolu gavzei v'tarpei legamrei b'chorif v'hadar pari misharashav. Right? Most of the Rishonim here are not explicit as to what they mean by Gavza. They just say eights or whatever, and you have no idea what they mean until you look at their examples. Then you have to be careful with their examples. Strawberries, I know, is a safe example, because no one had strawberries where the trunk lasted. But raspberries, they're a different kind, so it's very tricky, which is the other thing they're talking about, right? But the truth is not explicit. If it has to regrow from the roots, it's Hadama. But if Isal Gavza, by the way, if the trunk stays, then it's Priha eights. Mikan Pasuk Rav Yosef, we have no idea which Rav Yosef this is. There are many theories, it doesn't really matter that much. And Rav Yah is the Rav Yah, the Osem Tusin Uprizas Ubisons, Vekayotzim Zerich, which are all like types of wild berries, raspberries, and etc. You all say Hadama on them. So what's the second? Is the Geza, the trunk. That is the opinion of the Gaonim. It's all over the Gaonim and the Rav Yosef and the Rav Yah in the Mordechai. And also we have that in the Ra'ah. And you could add a lot of people to this, but that's good enough for now. And this is what Rashi means, according to the Bach and most unfortunate. What does Rashi mean by anaf? He didn't mean a branch as opposed to a trunk. He means the branch that grows above ground, which we call the trunk. I know that's not the only way. Rashi, Lefi Bach, and most Achronim, they say it means, and therefore, bananas and strawberries and pineapple, right, are ha'adama.
If you say enough is a trunk, if it's in the Torah, enough it's about every
branch of us. It's a good question. The anaf often means a branch. I mean, the truth is that the Bach, the reason I gave you the Bach is not only in the context that I put it, that it's one shot in the Tosefta, it's also because he really nicely gives shot in Tosos and Rashi and everyone, at least according to him, and he represents the mainstream of the Achronim. He doesn't bring any rise what anaf means. He brings all these rise from Gavza. He says Gavza all over Shas means a trunk, and therefore when Rashi says anaf, he means a little lavdavka. By enough, he means something that grows. And they even say, because he's talking about plants, he's not talking about apple trees. He's talking about borderline kinds of things. And borderline kinds of things, the trunk looks more like a branch than a trunk, and that's why he said enough, some of the Achronim suggest. But I fully admit that there's another tzad. what's the third tzad? The third tzad is that Anafim, you know, Anafim Mamish, let's call it, right? Needs to be Mamish branches. And this is maybe Rashi, right? Maybe it means, no, it's not enough to have the trunk stay. You need Mamish branches that give fruit year after year. If you notice in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he doesn't give footnotes, but he says there's three deos. Yay, shomrim, that as long as the shorish stays and you don't have to replant it, that's an eitz. That's the rush. And tosis. Yay, shcholkim bazeh, and say no, that if it regrows from the root, that's how dumb it has to have a trunk that stays. The Yeshom, third opinion, afilo ikar nishakayim kol achorif, even if the trunk lasts all winter, raksha enough of noshim achorif, just the branches fall off, and the trunk grows new branches in the kayets, and we'll see an all in new payros, ein payros of chashuv and levarach lembar per eitz, v'yesh lachem. So he has that third opinion, his grandson, the Tzedach Tzedek, right? This is the Seder Rikzanenin of the Balatanya, right? His grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe. He wrote Peirush on Shas, and in his Peirush right here on Shas, he says, and my grandfather wrote this third opinion, and I have no idea what he was talking about. There is no such third opinion in any Rishon. That's what Tzemach Tzedek said about his grandfather. He says, the day of the Vinish Achmashikasav de Gimel Vish Omar Shafila, etc. Lomatsasi Adai, and I have no idea what the mucker of this third day of my grandfather is. I don't know where he got it from. I can't promise you where he got it from. I can't promise you where he got it from either, but Nira. And I think it's Makovel that he got it from Rashi. Right in this, I don't know, I saw online they have a Seder Brick Center with footnotes. He took his Zedar Pasha, he got it from Rashi. Lachari got it from Rashi, his grandson. What does grandson mean? I don't know, I didn't find it. Lachari means, I don't think it's Pshat and Rashi, I think it's ridiculous. Can't be the meaning of the word Gavza. The Bach proved the word Gavza means the trunk. So even though Rashi says enough, it just as a rim is that some trunks are very slender. But he obviously meant a trunk. who says this pshat? This is the Balatanya. And a bunch of modern day poskim, or not modern day poskim, sorry, a bunch of other achronim also had a havmin of this. And the Shutmar Shaman deals with raspberries. You know what's interesting about raspberries? Again, it could be there are different kinds of raspberries, but at least the raspberries that are common nowadays, no branch gives fruit twice. A branch grows this year and it grows leaves and doesn't grow any raspberries.
But it grows from another branch.
Of course, but the branch grows next year, the branch stays next year and grows raspberries. Mm-hmm. Then it dies and doesn't do anything the next year. You know, if it's cultivated, the farmers cut it off, so it won't crown everything. And if it's not cultivated, it's just dead wood and then eventually falls off. Each branch only gives raspberries once. And says,
is there a trunk?
What?
Is there a trunk?
That's a great question. There's not a trunk like we imagine with, you know, orchards. So here it's a little tricky, meaning there, and that's why it's complicated in Tosos. There are some raspberries, and here I can't tell you what it was like in the time of the Rishonim in Europe. Some raspberries, you ever pick wild raspberries? Right? Yes. Remember when we were kids, raspberries were kosher? you used to go and you'd walk around in the mountains and pick wild raspberries and eat them, you know, like the achronim. Those look like they're 12 months a year you walk around, you see something there. It's just, it's always a new branch that produces raspberries, apparently. I'm listening to real raspberries. I don't know about blackberries and other things. However, there are some raspberries where only the root stays under the ground. And then you get new branches grow from the root. They grow and last 2 years, Seder. But they each branch grows from the root and only makes fruit once. And that's probably the raspberries Tosos was and the Mordechai were talking about. They talked about raspberries that were a nafgamina between these two pshatim. Right? So they probably meant raspberries that grow from another shoresh. But modern day raspberries, a lot of them, the shoresh comes out of the ground, makes a little knot of some sort, and from there, new branches grow every year, but it stays above ground for many, many years. So if it stays above ground for many, many years, the trunk stays all the time. The trunk stays all the time, makes new fruit, but each branch doesn't make new fruit. So there's a famous Shutmar Sham about the bracha on raspberries, where he says maybe, he doesn't say exactly these words in Rashi, but he says maybe we should think that since each branch gives fruit once and then dies, so therefore that is Shaklas le peri leisei le gavza the hadamafik. The branch doesn't regrow, and therefore raspberries should be hadama. However, he possibly said, no, since the main tree still remains, therefore raspberries are heights, which is the minigolem that nowadays people say eats on raspberries.
Grapes, by the way.
What?
Grapes. I live in Rosh Sarim. We have all these great grape. They say that once from a certain part, a grape, you know, you get a bundle, you have to clip that off. That's what they must trim it. They have to know what they're doing. Because it's got to grow a new one, and from there you'll get the grapes. And you certainly say I ate some grapes.
Right. So I'm not a bucky on exactly which, how the, I know there's a whole chachma, I'm not a bucky, so maybe you're right. I can't comment.
Rabbi Yoshi Paskin in Eretz Yisrael to say going free Adam on raspberries. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, I know Paskin in America, we say going free Adam.
That was raspberries, not cranberries?
That was
okay.
I never forgot this. I saw a blackberry tree in Shalom. And that's a very interesting tree. Because from the branch grows a stringy type of branch, and that has to be replaced every year. But the branch doesn't.
Ah, okay. So then, modern raspberries, which keep the stem above ground always, so that would certainly be ha'eitz according to the main pshatim, but that's why the marsham, before the Baal Tanya would say hadama, the marsham had a havamina say hadama, but that was only his havamina, right? He doesn't quote Rashi, right? He doesn't quote Rashi, but who does deal with Rashi is the Radvaz. That long shit Radvaz about eggplant, the fascinating shit Radvaz about eggplant. Right, the...
That's a question about Rashi before you get
yeah.
Rashi is, I don't know anything about trees or bushes or raspberries. Rashi uses the lotion of nafshel eitz. Does not nafshel eitz mean that branches that grow from the trunk? These examples wouldn't work out too well.
Okay.
I wonder if there's such a thing as a tree.
No, so I looked and someone I know someone who writes like Ha'oros, he's a big botanist and writes Ha'oros to Shas, and he says we don't actually have anything where there's a real trunk and the branches fall off every year.
Right,
we don't have such a thing. So then there's no nafkamina. It's very hard to tell what Rashi means. I'll point out that when the Radvaz talked about eggplant, the original Radvaz, short Radvaz about eggplant, which really opened up the eggplant. So yeah, even though it had been discussed prior to him, that he's the one who made it famous. He is mesupik. He's not sure whether Rashi and the Gaonim, here he puts Rashi with the Gaonim, means it has to have branches or means it just has to have a trunk that continues. So he keeps going back and forth mesupik about it, and therefore Lamaisa, he's machmer whenever it comes down to anything. But he when he quotes him, he says, it has to be Yotzim and Anaf HaRishon Shel Shanava, only if it comes from the same branch, which apparently it does not in eggplants. Here, I'm not a bucky, but I'll take his word for it. He says, but it could be that if you look in the Gaonim, it's clear. As long as there's a trunk, that's called a tree. Then he says, but he's not sure. So he's besupik bid das Rashi. So again, there is this non-mainstream possibility out there that it really means it has to come from, the branch has to produce more than once. Then you have to be magdir exactly what it means the branch produce more than once. Maybe it doesn't have to be the same part of the branch. That maybe the branch has to produce more than once. However, the Marsham rejects that in the end, and the Radvaz, leaves that as sort of the minor possibility in the end, and the Shulchan Harav is thrown under the bus by his grandson, who says there is no such sheet, and I don't know where Zaidi got this third sheet. There's only two sheets in the Rishonim. And they're all influenced by the Bach, and most Achronim would say there's only two Shitas, and Rashi, even though he used a funny Lashon, really just used a funny Lashon to mean the same as the Shut Gaonim, and maybe the reason he used the funny Lashon is because what he meant to say is even if what stays is not a big trunk, but just looks like a tiny little branch, as long as it stays above ground all year long, that is good enough. Okay, these are the main Shitas. How do we, just before we get into a little bit of an analysis, how do we paskin? Everyone knows how we paskin because anyone here from Elizabeth? Why did I just ask that? And?
I don't know.
We're from Mason, Elizabeth.
What's the thing called?
Yes, exactly. For what's the thing called? correct. It's not that Jacob didn't know what it was called. It was just that he was postulating what's the reason we do it, so that people will ask questions as to what it is. The Karpath. Rabbi Teitz, when he moved to Elizabeth, apparently in Europe, in Lithuania, where he came from, they didn't eat bananas. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch didn't live in Lithuania. Clearly, the Sephardim ate bananas. The Gaon discussed bananas from shortly after Chasimus HaShas. but it could be that in Lithuania, they didn't eat so many bananas. People came to America, and they saw a banana, and they knew it was a fruit. So they said, "I ate some banana." And he says, "No, why are you guys? The Rush has been dead for 700 years. We say Hadamah on bananas." And people kept forgetting. People kept not being so convinced that you say Hadamah on bananas. And I remember once one of my kids, they went to Gan in America and they learned about Ha'itz and Hadamah. And they came back, the Ganana knew they'd be confused. So they came back with this big oak tag, half of it they pasted on pictures of fruits, half of it they pasted on pictures of vegetables and said Bari Priya Adama here and Bari Priya Eats there. And it had the banana on the vegetable side. And on the banana, somehow they wrote Bari Priya Adama on the banana. And the Mora told him that all fruits are Bari Priya Eats except for the banana, which says Bari Priya Adama. So the next day I gave him a banana and he said Bari Priya Eats. I said, "What about what your Mora taught you?" He says, "No, it didn't say anything on this banana. only what it says, but a stam banana is still a fruit." Okay, so we see how confused people can be. We see how confused people can be. The Maisa, sorry, Taitz me the Minhag, Ad Hayom Azeh, people who come from Elizabeth, still have that Minhag, that for Karpas, instead of parsley or potatoes or what have you, they eat banana for Karpas at the Pesach Seder. Says, if I tell people to eat it for Karpas, then they'll believe me that it's Hadamah. So Elizabethans Ad Hayom Hazeh use bananas for Karpas, which is the minhag of Rabbi Teitz, because he had trouble convincing people that it was really Hadamah. Okay, this is a machlokes Rishonim. The people weren't crazy. They were just held like the Rush and Rabbeinu Tam. They had an old European Masorah. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins very clearly, and as Rabbi Teitz pointed out, no one disagrees anymore, no matter where you come from, that bananas are Hadamah, and pineapples are Hadamah, and strawberries are Hadamah, at this point less man de palig. And if you would have the old kind of, raspberries, etc., where they just regrew from the roots every year, which I think is less common nowadays, those would be Hadamah. But this is how we paskin. This is the Sak Halacha. Maybe it's good. Here's where it gets interesting. There is a Tosefta about the difference between a fruit and a vegetable, right? What does the Tosefta say about the difference between a fruit and a vegetable? Tosefta says, Zaklal, it's the klal. If it grows, some people don't think the right gear says olav, but we'll stick with it. Even if it's a ladafk, if it grows the leaves from the ikr, it's a yerek. And if it doesn't grow the leaves from the ikr, it is an ilan. Some do with whether it grows the leaves from the ikr or not from the ikr. Let's take a classic example. A carrot grows leaves from the root, right? So there's leaves sticking up. An apple tree does not grow leaves from the root. It grows leaves from the branches. so that seems to be a different getter than it says here in Shas. There it says whether it's motzi meikar or not motzi meikar. Here it says whether the gabza is Isa v'hadar mapik or not Isa v'hadar mapik. How do we resolve the discrepancy between the Tosefta and the Gemara? So the Ra'ah in his second shot, which he likes, right? What does he say about a second shot? He says, v'chein ikar ubarer. What does he answer? What is the...
It's the same thing.
It's hainu hach, it's the same thing in different words. Maybe the Tosefta and our Gemara are the same thing in different words. Why? Now, that wouldn't help if you were the Rush. So if you're the Rush, whatever regrows from the roots is Ha'etz, even though L'chora it's motzi things from the Iker. But, like, it wouldn't be saying the same thing. But if you are the Gaonim, we're going to leave Rashi, this suffix Rashi for now. If you're the Gaonim, then it's the same thing. What do you do with the Tosefta? Says the Ra'ah, I know he has 2 days, this is the second day, says the Ra'ah, Hainu Hach, the Tosefta is exactly the same thing as the Bavli. What does it mean? It means, does it regrow from the Iker, or does it not regrow from the Iker? Because there's more than the Iker, right? Iker meaning Shorish. Hainu Hach, meaning if, what's the Lashon Tosefta again?
It doesn't tell you really she'ena motzi instead of being explicit.
Yes, it says motzi olav. Here, interesting. He has a different gears in the Tosefta, but motzi olav meikaro equals regrows from the shoresh. And that is a Yerek, which is exactly the Hagdara of the Gaonim. Eino motzi olav meikaro is just another way of saying that it grows from the trunk. Right? It doesn't have to grow anything from the Iker, the Shorish. Iker meaning Shorish, because it grows from the trunk. The trunk is always there. And it doesn't every year grow anything from the Shorish. It grows from the trunk. And therefore, it's exactly saying the same thing in different words. And that also explains nicely. So there are other explanations also. Why does our Gemara not quote the Tosefta? The answer is our Gemara did quote the Tosefta. It just quoted the Tosefta in different words. Why did it quote the Tosefta in different words? Because it's not trying to, like, quote Makoros. It's just trying to say, Agav Orcha, why Yechita is not a tree. Yechita is not a tree because we all know this rule, even though they quote it in slightly different words. Niralani is daiti. That is the Shita of, I didn't give you all the Gaonim, but the Rambam. What does the Rambam quote from our Sugya? Trick question?
Nothing.
He quotes nothing from our sugya. All he says, I wasn't even sure how to put him on the Makoros. I just put the Rambam on the Makoros where he said, Pri Ha'aretz are Pri Adama, and Peiros Ha'ilon are Pri Ha'etz. And hope that you would understand what that means is that he doesn't quote anything. If you look at the Ein Mishpat here, the Heicha and Varcha in there, the whole thing of Shakli, the Peri Yisrael, the Gabza, etc. What does he say here? Torah Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim Sim Reish Gimel Se'if Beis, skipping the Rambam, because the Rambam leaves out our Gemara entirely. The Rambam does quote the Tosefta in Maseches Klayim. There just quotes the Tosefta word for word in Maseches Klayim. So why does the Rambam leave out our Gemara entirely? Now, Ein Hachanami, you could say whatever you want. But it seems to me, and I think the Mishnah Sadam, and Rav Nachum says the same shot also, says that, the Rambam didn't quote our sugya, because our sugya, he had like the Ra'ah, our sugya was just a paraphrase of the Tosefta and Klayim. He already quoted the Tosefta and Klayim. You want to know what an Ilan is? He totally tells you in the Tosefta Klayim what an Ilan is. He doesn't have to tell you what an Ilan is separately in every book of the Mishnah Torah. It's enough to tell you what an Ilan is once. Since he told you what an Ilan is once, therefore, he knows if you want to know what an Ilan is, you'll look it up. And there's no need to tell you twice. And he doesn't have to quote our Gemara, because it's not like our Gemara is trying to tell you what an Ilan is. It's just Agav Orcha and this Havmin of Chita, etc. It's much what an Ilan is. We look at the Tosefta and Klayim, and to support that pshat, I'll point out, I didn't put this all on the Makor sheet, all the Gaonim were discussing, none of the Gaonim discussed Klayim on bananas. They're not, I mean, the Tosefta is very interesting, all these Klayim sugyas. If you look in the halachic literature through the generations, people are very interested in bracha. You have to know what bracha to make. People are very interested in arla. You have to know what's kosher, what's treif. There are no tshuvas and no debates and no polemics about klayim, because farmers plant a field of this here and a field of that there, and you know, don't really get into it. Like a goyish farmer also doesn't plant bananas in his vineyard or in the middle of his wheat field. It's just not the regular way that farmers work.
People really did plant wheat in their...
I don't know if people did. Not everything that's discussed in Shas is something that people did.
Is there something that people did?
Not everything discussed in the Torah or in Shas is something people commonly did, right? Who knows? Correct. Anyway, so interestingly, in the halach literature, no one cares about klayim, no one cares about bracha and arla. But interestingly, when the Gaonim discuss the bracha on bananas, not one Gaon, when they discuss the bracha on bananas, quotes our Gemara. Not one Gaon quotes our Gemara in the bracha on bananas. If I can quickly maybe find what the Gaonim say about bananas. You ready for me to quickly tell you what the Gaonim say about bananas?
Yes.
Okay, good thing I have new glasses. The Bahag says, Kol Ilan denart nutrin tarfe besitvo paishin gavaze vahadar mape kirpe etc. Ilan mikrim varchan peir varpria eitz. Kol Ilan, etc., etc. And then he says, he quotes the Mosey, and he says, let me try something else. Shuvah Segaonim, Sheila from Rav Yudai Goin. The answer, Halan Muzi, my Mivarchin Olayu, Vamar Tani Tosefta, Kolomotzi Olame Kor Esavu, Nafmina, Levrukale Bar Priates, he quotes the Tosefta. They asked the Shalom Brachas, he quotes the Tosefta. In the, in another, in Rabbeinu Hananel, I thought, okay. Maybe we'll just, I thought there were more Gaonim, but I'm not finding it now. But we'll just suffice that. The Bahag was asked what the Bracha bananas are, and it quotes the Tosefta. Why didn't he quote? Why didn't he quote our Gemara? So maybe because my Pshat and the Rambam is correct. Because the Gaonim understood that our Gemara was just paraphrasing the Tosefta, and it was Hayinu Ha. So the Gemara is paraphrasing the Tosefta, and they might as well quote the original of the Tosefta in Pasking Bananas. So what I want to claim is that the Rambam holds like the Ra'ah, that it is Hayinu Ha, and that's the Tshuvas HaGaonim.
Rambam has another, has a category of Yerek and Priya Eitz, but he also has Priya Oretz.
Right, to tell you we don't possibly have Rabbi Huda who differentiates.
No, I understand, but how does that fit in? The criterion of Kilayim is the difference between Yerek and Priya.
No, it's not such a difference. Yeah, but Yerek and Priya Haaretz go together in Kilayim, so it's okay. Okay, so Nirlan is Daiti, this is the Rambam and the Gaonim.
The Gaonim is a bunch of very simple people running on the Gemara. How would you expect them to open up Brachot and then like, know how to reference it to Kilayim and know what the definition of the tree is?
That is an interesting question. And then you would have to claim that, oh, why didn't the Rambam say anything in Hilchos Brachos? Because there is no rule in Hilchos Brachos. Everyone knows what a tree is. Which is,
You have to start with the Zeronim first to make their food, and then they just get the brachos.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the order in which he, I mean, not like the, not like the Bahag. Who quotes the Tosefta in bananas? Maybe the Rambam held differently. You know, I can't. You know, and said, "Oh, I don't need to give you a definition because only for Kalayim there's a technical definition. For Brachos, everyone knows what's a tree and what's not a tree. Now it's a little tricky because is it really so posh that everyone knows what's a tree and what's not a tree in Hilchos Brachos? It's possible. It's possible. I just, the reason I don't love that is because how is everyone supposed to know in Hilchos Brachos? Like, is it that everyone knows what's a tree, what's not a tree until you mess us up with the Tosefta and Kalayim, or that we're never sure? We're never sure about the in between cases.
You hold like the Rosh and Tosfos, then you don't need any definition because it's just anything.
Correct. So we'll get to that in a second. So, plus. Maybe the Rambam and the Gaonim would agree with this shot in the Tosefta. However, what is the Rush going to do with the Tosefta? So here it gets a little tricky. Yes. The Rush can't say Hainu Hach in the Tosefta because he's going to say, oh, that's what the Tosefta means. Motzi Olav Meikaro means you have to replant it every year and nothing comes from the root. No. Motzi Olav Meikaro means something does come from the root. Here it says when something comes from the root, it sounds like it is a vegetable. And he's saying when something grows from the root, it's a tree. So the Rush is not going to be able to do this to the extent that the Nishmas Adam, when he reads Tosos, he says, ah, what's Tosos going to say about this Tosefta? And he says, must be that Tosos would say we don't paskin like the Tosefta. So can't say Hainu Hach for the Rush. You can't say Hainu Hach. So says the Nishmas Adam, the Das Tosfos. Now, we don't paskin like the Tosefta. He says, ah, you know what? We don't paskin like the Tosefta. Maybe the Tosefta is a different sheet and we don't paskin like it. Because you can't say Hainu Hach. However, who can't answer we don't paskin like the Tosefta? The Rush himself. Because what does the Rush himself say? The Rush says his pshat, and then he says, the Odom or Simon Acher b'Tosefta, and they all say something in the Tosefta, seemingly approving of it. And then he quotes the Tosefta, slightly different. There are slightly different discourses, but the basic idea of our Tosefta. And here, for the Rush, he quotes the Tosefta, but he can't mean Od Simon Acher. First of all, Od Simon Acher doesn't sound like Hainu Hach. It sounds like Simon Acher. And also, he can't mean Hainu Hach, because it wouldn't work out. So what does the Rush hold? Says the Rush, no, it's Simon Acher. What do I mean by Simon Acher, Lechora? What the Rush thinks is that there are two conditions necessary for being a tree. The Rush says there's two conditions necessary for being a tree. You need two conditions to be a tree. A, the Bavli, that it regrows, or that, let's say, you don't have to replant it, right? Whether it regrows from the trunk or from the branch or from the root, you don't have to replant it. B, the Tosefta. And the way he quotes the Tosefta is not Motzi Olav Me Ikaro, but rather Motzi Olav Me Anofav, as opposed to Ikaro. Motzi Olav Me Anofav. Okay, what exactly does he mean by this? What is this second condition of the Tosefta is very, very unclear. What is the second condition? Besides the fact that it has to be a perennial, right? The word for the Rush is it just has to be a perennial, right? That's the word in English, right? You know, plants are divided into annual and perennial. Annual means you have to replant it every year. Perennial means that it grows year after year after year, and you only have to plant it once. Besides being a perennial, it also needs to be Motzi Olin May. Enough of instead of Meikaro, there's some second condition. What is the nature of this second condition? Here, it's very unclear in the Achronim. Everyone has their own pshat. The Bach and the Drisha, I think, says the same as the Bach. Some people want to find some chilukim. The Bach says what it means is that the fruit grows from the trunk and not from the ground. Meaning like a banana. Where does the banana grow? Up in the air, right? The banana grows up in the air. As opposed to if the fruit grows from the ground, even if you don't have to replant it, if the fruit grows from the ground, it is still a yerek. So maybe what does this mean? Says the Bach. He says the fruit grows from the trunk and not the ground. As long as the fruit's in the ground, that's still a yerek. The Nishmas Adam, the Das HaRosh, says, expands on this a little. He says, and therefore he actually, it's funny, he wants to make the Rosh Moda in strawberries, even though he doesn't, okay, the Rosh himself doesn't talk about strawberries. He says, no, it grows from a tall trunk and not just from a little vine on the ground. He says, olin meikaro means, oh, just a little green vine comes from the ground and the fruit's at the end of that. That's olin meikaro. But olin meanafa means a stalk grows, even if it dies that year, like a banana. So he says what it means is that the fruit, it's not clear, I don't think the Bach meant quite this way, because then he would have to disagree with Tosfos and Rabbi Natan, because then strawberries, the way strawberries grow is like from the root, just grows like a little leaf here, and a little like green stem. The stem grows from the root. Fruit grows from the trunk and not from a stem emerging from the root, in which case the Rosh would have to cross off strawberries and say, I'm different than Tosos, and I think strawberries are Adama. Because the way strawberries grow is the root just makes a new stem come out, and the strawberries are on that stem. And the Shwa, which he rejects, although our new mentor, the Zosa Bracha, takes the Shlo very seriously, but I don't think most folks can do. The Shlo says, for Tosfos, he says, no, what it means is that even though if it regrows from the roots, it is, he basically tries to turn Tosfos into the Gaonim. He says, what Tosfos means is that in addition to not having to replant it, it has to grow not from the roots, but from something above ground. Isn't that the same as the Gaonim? No, Tosfos just means the root has to be at least 1 millimeter above the ground, which is basically very similar to the Gaonim, and what did the Gaonim hold? So the Shla, and that's why everyone rejects the Shla, Bidas Tosfos, he says maybe it means that the root that remains, right, the Nishos Adam quoted this Shla and was not very impressed by it. And I'm sure there's other days as well, but these are just the mainstream ones in the famous poskim. He quotes someplace here the shlacha shla be emek bracha. I mean, the shla's perush on the emek bracha, not the brisker one nowadays, the very old one. Kasev the shlidcho klatos on sharmut the zetzel zetzel lekar hayim dak shlo nishar klumen on a fraka shor shadak lekarka she nishar ma atmena on a shamach lekarka ze mikri ilan vudoch et gadol is poking above the ground. Okay, those are different shatim in the Rosh. What do all of these answers have in common? Basically, these are three answers. Either, what's the relationship between the Tosefta and the Bavli? Either, Hainuhach, or Machlokes, the Bavli rejects the Tosefta, or there are two different conditions. And one place lists one condition, another place lists another condition. Why didn't we put both conditions at once? Stam. Right? Why do we put two conditions in Argmar? I understand. We just needed to exclude Chita. You don't need all the conditions. You just need enough to exclude Chita. However, this is all as opposed to the first day in the Ra'ah, which he thinks is not Iker, but the Ritva thinks is Iker. Right? What does the first day in the Ra'ah and the Ritva say? They say, forget all of this. Forget any of these Shitas. Says the Ritva, or let's say, the Ra'ah's first Deah, which he thinks is not Iker, but the Ritva thinks is Iker. The Ritva says it a few places in Shas, even though this is not the real Ritva, it is the sheet of the Ritva, which are the footnotes and tells you where else he says it. What do they say to answer this Stira?
Different rules for Kilayim.
Exactly. They say something Lomdish. They say, hold on a second, why are you bringing this up in the first place? Who told you to bring this up in the first place? Our Gemara is about brachos. The Tosefta and Kilayim is about Kilayim. Who says to mix brachos and Kilayim? As a matter of fact, when the Yerushalmi has a havni to mix brachos and Kilayim, right? They ask a stira, ah, ha'atad is Elon is not Kilayim b'kerem, but don't we say you say Barmin and Sharm? What's the Yerushalmi's answer?
Tam lebracha v'kan l'kilayim.
Tam lebracha v'kan l'kilayim. Why should bring a stira between brachos and Kilayim? They're different areas of halacha. Now, what that means, we're not sure, but they're different areas of halacha. Says the, he says no. It's two totally different dinim, right? two totally different dinim. An eitz le'inyan bracha depends on isa legavza v'hadar mapik. Kalayim depends on motzi olav me'ikaro. Meaning, kalayim depends, do things grow on the ground or do things grow on a tall trunk? Bracha depends on whether it will produce again next year or it will die and not produce again next year, whether we're talking about the trunk or we're talking about the roots. Right, whichever shita. I mean, this is irrelevant to which shita you have. It says, and why should they be? Meaning, you could have the same thing, which has two. For example, a banana, if the rush holds like the onam, if the rush holds like the onam, which he does, a banana is hadama because it has to grow again every year from the roots. But a vada, a banana, is an ilan for klayim. What do you mean? It doesn't produce anything from the roots. Not hayuha. It produces all the leaves of bananas, you know, 10 feet up in the air. And likewise, many other things. So, but why do they have these totally different gedarim, though? How does he explain? He doesn't just say stam. He explains exactly why they have different gedarim. How does he explain why they have different gedarim? The Ritva might not explain so exactly. The Ritva just says, the Ritva also explains. The Ron Ritva, but how do they explain nicely? What's the difference between klayim and bracha? Why should there be a difference? Why should there be two totally different? They don't think these tests have anything to do with each other. They're two totally different tests. One is about whether it grows low or grows high. And one is about whether it regrows every year or stays from year to year. Why would they have two totally different hagdaros?
One's living in Pelos and the other's living in AIDS.
Exactly, right? This is not a Lumdish Kiddush that we have. This is very, you know, there were us, the Brisker here, not us. And the Ritva says that he says, Hasalin yin gufe yikil lakshubi yerkalovalin yin pre lakshubi preetz alo ein lamedim zoli kal zeh. That's lain yin the gufa tzemach. And this is lain yin the Pelos. And the Ritva says the same thing, says the Ritva. Davgalin yin pir yo yikil lakshubi preetz alo viklala. What does he say? It's not a difference between bracha and klayim per se. It's not a difference between bracha and klayim per se. It's a difference between the pre and the tree itself. I don't want to say the tree itself. That's biasing me. I'll say the plant, right? The fruit and the plant. This is the pre and the tzemach. If you want to know what it is, you look at, and he says, what's pshat? He says, pshat is very, very, I think is very, very poshut. You want to know, you want to look at it and say, is this an elon for klayim? Or is, I mean, it's interesting. Does klayim depend on how the fruits grow? Or what the tree looks like?
He says the second one.
Right? And the Chazanish points this out, although he restricts it to Klai Zeraim. He says, what's Klaim all about? Klaim is about whether things are mixed or are they not mixed. Whether they're mixed or... Meaning, why can I plant an apple tree in my vineyard, Lechora? Because the apple's not mixed with the vines. They're separate trees. Yeah. If I plant wheat in the vineyard, then it's all mixed because the wheat doesn't have its own strong presence. He says, when it comes to the Klai Ikarim, it depends on what the tree looks like. A banana tree looks like a big tree, right? And a banana looks like a tree, and wheat doesn't, right? A banana looks like a tree, and wheat does not look like a tree. So when it comes to the actual tzemach, avada depends on the tsura of the tzemach. A banana is a big tree. Why would that be Klai Ikarim? And, rice is just a stalk that grows in the ground, and that is klayim in the keren. But when it comes to the pre, when it comes to brachos, we don't care. It's like this. Brachos doesn't depend whether it's an eitz or not. That's his machlokas with everyone else. Brachos doesn't depend whether it's an eitz or not. Brachos depend whether it's a pre ha-eitz or not. How do we know what's a pre ha-eitz and what isn't? Well, this year, where did I see it growing from? If this year it came out of the ground, then it's a pre-hadama. Who cares if it comes out of the ground on a small stalk or a big stalk? Every year it comes out of the ground. That's a priyadama. If nothing came out of the ground this year, there was just stuff above the ground anyway, and it came out of the stuff that's above the ground, then it is a priyadama. So I think this is what I want to say, that what is the Ra'a saying? He's saying there are two different questions. This is whether the plant is Yerek or an Elon. Whether the plant Yerek or an Elon depends on what it looks like. If the leaves grow or the thin stalks grow from the ground, that looks, that's a Yerek. If you have a big, tall trunk that's 10 feet tall and things grow off that trunk like a banana, then that is an eight for climbing purposes. Over here, no. We don't care what it is. We care whether the fruit is pre-ha'etz or pre-hadama. Whether the plant is a yilan or an yilan or yerek, that depends on the tsura of the plant. After all, go look at date palms and look at banana trees. And tell me if they look similar. They look similar. Yeah. And wheat does not look similar to them, and lettuce does not look similar to them, right? They look similar. I picked date palms specifically, right? Meaning maybe an apple tree doesn't look so much like a banana tree, but a date palm is not that different. So then it depends on the tour of the plant. Over here, depends whether the pre comes every year from within the ground or not. If it comes from within the ground, that's a pre-hadama. It came out of the adama on a big stalk. If it comes from something that is not the ground, if it comes from something that is above ground, then it came from an eitz. So I think that's what the Ra'a and the Rishon are trying to say, that there's a different difference whether you're looking at the status of the pre or you're looking at the status of the plant itself. In the 30 seconds we have, I'll just point out that this might tie into Tosos's ha'ara about atad. Now, atad is some sort of thorn bush. I wish we knew exactly what kind of thorn bush we were talking about. It's not 100% clear. Tosos assumes that that sort of raspberries, which actually grow on thorny bushes, are thorn bush, and strawberries, which don't grow on thorny bushes, are not, although it's not 100% clear what difference the thorns make in Hilchos Brachos. But the Rishalmi has a fundamental chiluk between Kalayim and Bracha. Says an atad is a tree for klayim purposes, but a prihadama, or deshoim, and the yerek for bracha purposes. Why is there a difference between atad and between atad for klayim versus bracha? So one possibility might be. But we'll have to pick up with this next time here at Hashem. We'll have to next time. Okay, one possibility might be that the difference is between the Ra'a, right? Are you looking at Klayim? Klayim is different than Brachos. Brachos depends on the pre, and Klayim depends on the on the tree. So that explained the difference of Atad. We'll have to, I guess, pick up with next shiur. So the next shiur, we are last shiur before Chazara, if you recall. The next shiur, we will finish up the sheet, and I really do want to finish up the next sugya before I go to America and we break for Chazara. The next sugya is really just the next two lines in the Gemara before it gets on to the sugya after that. We'll try Emirat Hashem next week to finish off this sheet very briefly and go into the next sugya, which is making a shahakol on Pasan Yayin and whether or not you're Yotze. So to be continued.
Rabbi Zivashir.
Mm-hmm.
Said we've got to see